Locked On Heat is an intelligent and entertaining daily podcast covering the Miami Heat and the NBA. Like I said, it's daily, five times a week, so subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, because we'll be there every morning, waiting for you. You can email the show at lockedonheat@gmail.com, or you can send us questions for our weekly mailbag, inquire about advertising, or just say hi. And finally, we're asking you, the listener, to go on iTunes and leave us a rating, and even a review if you're feeling particularly generous. It helps. Now, on to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Wes Goldberg, the editor of allyoucanheat.com. With me, as always, it's David Ramil. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. It's, it's been a good weekend, and I am ready to chat with you about our continued series on the position breakdown for the Miami Heat this season.
Yeah, we're going to talk about shooting guards today, and I guess we should start with the guy that isn't here anymore, Dwayne Wade, who had some interesting comments this past weekend in regards to this letter that he never got to Pat Riley, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, if we remember correctly, Pat Riley, during his press conference following free agency and Dwayne Wade's departure, mentioned that he was going to sit down and write a nice long letter to Dwayne Wade. But according to Wade, when asked about it at a community event this past weekend, he mentioned he just never got that letter from Pat Riley. So the comments were made kind of tongue-in-cheek, and I think Dwayne was there basically just to promote the charity event, which is, you know, absolutely what he should be doing. But they asked him if he'd heard from Riley, and he hadn't as of yet. So what's your take on the situation? Because, I mean, from my perspective, I think Pat Riley should have done a little bit more to reach out to him. I mean, considering what we heard as far as how he courted or lacked or did not court Dwayne Wade during free agency, it's the least he could do to one of the greatest players in franchise history.
Of course. And, you know, this only adds to that, this whole storyline about this this crumbling relationship between the team and Pat Riley specifically and Dwayne Wade. So you never want to, you know, when Pat Riley comes out and says, you know, all these thank yous for Wade and all his time, and I mean, you and I had talked about it back then, how we kind of tried to see through that. You know, if you really felt that bad, he would have found a way to keep him here, this sort of thing. And this just kind of adds to that whole thing. And Wade, it's, you know, you're right, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, almost as if maybe he never really even expected that letter in the first place, right? And he was just reminding people how silly that letter was in the first place, maybe. But but on that same side, you know, for Pat Riley, it's been a busy offseason for him. He's obviously had to replace Dwayne Wade, so he had a few days where he had to fill out this roster so that the team can match Tyler Johnson, and then Deion Waiters became available, so there was that, and then this whole Chris Bosh situation, I imagine, is taking up some of his time and just getting ready for training camp and stuff. So maybe he hasn't had time to just sit down and write this letter.
I call BS on that.
Yeah.
I absolutely call BS on that.
It does seem silly that there would even be a letter written, right? And that's Dwayne Wade's point in the first place, or
maybe the letter, and necessarily sitting down there and writing a letter. I mean, you know, as old as Riley might be, I don't know that he necessarily needs to get special from the desk of Pat Riley stationery and write out a 2,000-word letter. But, you know, call a guy up and say, hey, man, look, I'm really sorry about how it all went down. You know, the ad that we took out with the key under the mat, that's not just metaphorical. That, you know, we still love you. I still love you. You know, I still want you here. And, you know, I just want you to do well in Chicago, et cetera. You know, just make contact. You know, if everything we've heard about Riley from players in the past is true, particularly the way he's able to connect with everybody. I mean, I know I've brought it up before, but it bears repeating. You know, an eye-opening podcast from Adrian Wojnarowski with Sean Marks, and what he learned now that he's taken over the general manager position for the New Jersey Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, excuse me, showing my age there. Anyway, he mentioned that, you know, he's worked with Popovich, Riley, and these great front office types throughout his career. Even though he didn't have much of a decorated career per se, he's learned a little bit along the way from these great, you know, personnel throughout NBA history. And of Riley specifically, he said Riley was able to connect with him on a very personal basis, you know, asking about his kids and his wife and, you know, his kids' soccer games and things of this sort. And that seems to be lost now. And I mean, I know we don't want to spend too much time on it, but you know, if we're listening to what happened with Riley and Wade, and we take that at face value, there seems to be some deterioration there. And I'm not sure if it's just because Riley's further removed than he's ever been now that he's not coaching anymore.
I think that's definitely it. I think there's a certain situation where he's in his ivory tower, you know, he's 2,000 feet up, and he's just not engaged with these players. I mean, you're not going to see... I just don't see him making that kind of connection with Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson and these guys. Maybe he is, but like, it's harder to do that when you're not the head coach. I mean, you have guys like Greg Popovich, who a lot of the similar things were said about him, right, and how he takes an interest in people, and in their lives outside of just basketball. And it seems like Riley was definitely one of those kind of guys as a head coach, but now that he's in management, there's almost like, you know, as no longer in middle management, so to speak. You know, he's got to take that bird's eye view, and he's got to maybe not get as connected as with some of these players. Yeah, not as involved, and I do wonder how much of that even had an effect on his relationship with Dwayne Wade. It just seems that this Pat Riley that Sean Marks talks about, and those stories about Kevin Garnett and his meetings with Pat Riley or all these guys. Right. This doesn't seem like the Pat Riley that was involved with Dwayne Wade these last few years. And it seems like pride got in the way and ego got in the way. And maybe that's still why Pat Riley hasn't picked up his cell phone and called Dwayne Wade or whatever. I don't know. But either way, Wade's not here anymore. That leaves a giant hole at shooting guard. First time the shooting guard position has been open for competition in 13 seasons. So let's get into it. We're going to start with Josh Richardson because... he just suffered an MCL injury. It doesn't seem to be too severe. Everything we're hearing is 6 to 8 weeks. He's going to be going through rehab, everything like that. So maybe he's out for the first 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season. He won't be there for training camp and preseason, which is not going to – that's going to hurt the team a little bit. But Josh Richardson, to you, is he the – when healthy, is he the shoe-in starter at shooting guard?
I think he brings the most total package at this point. We're not quite sure what to expect from Deion Waiters, despite how much we want him here in Miami, you and I personally. And I think, you know, we've talked about a number of times that we think he's going to be a major contributor. At this point, I think Richardson's the best fit just because there's a familiarity there with the system, because of his youth, because the more experience he gets, the better he'll get more than likely. I think we'll continue to develop him. There's already been evidence of development taking place and how he grew throughout the course of his rookie season and the total package of being able to play as well defensively as he does offensively. And I think that's a big boost. I think he obviously, of the three guys that we're looking at as far as, you know, likely to spend a majority of their time at shooting guard, I think he's the best floor spacer. I think he's the best natural shooter and just the best natural athlete, period. So I think, yeah, he is the likely number one choice for starter.
I have to agree. I think just his versatility. The fact that the Heat drafted him last year, I think, you know, in the second round, he was a steal. They still have a lot invested in him where guys maybe like Deion Waiters could be gone after a year. We're going to talk about Deion Waiters a little bit later. Specifically, David, you had a good chat with Fred Katz of Locked On Thunder, and so we're going to cover that a little bit later. But with Waiters, he might not be here for very long. Even Tyler Johnson, who, you know, the team obviously spent a lot of money on, $50 million over 4 years, but he's more of this combo shooting guard, point guard. He's been working a lot running the point during the summer, too. So Josh just makes more sense, and if this team is going to develop guys, and there is, and this core, this young core is really what this team is going to, you know, hang their hat on in the next few years, it makes a lot of sense to start Josh Richardson in that way, just from a developmental standpoint, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we're looking at Waiters probably leaving after this season, unless there's a serious setback here, I can't imagine any conditions under which he stays here. Even if he thrives, there's the chance then that he's going to be able to take that and mean more money elsewhere. So that's, you know, that's a likely scenario there. If he just maintains his status.
Yeah, I think the only way he stays is if the Heat make him their superstar signing next season, right? Because they're going to have enough money to at least sign one player.
Right. And if that's the case, that doesn't seem likely, considering you've already made a significant investment to Tyler Johnson. Now there is also the possibility that Johnson, because of the last 2 years of his four-year contract ballooning in price, they might think of moving him at some point in the future. But even then, you're looking at maybe a two-year rental for Tyler Johnson before you ship him elsewhere. And then if that's the case, you've got Josh Richardson here for at least three more seasons. And then at that point, you could tender an offer and probably make him a pretty lucrative deal at the end of his restricted free agent contract. But yeah, he seems to be the future there. You want to tie his career together with Justice Winslow, who is now a cornerstone of the franchise or likely to become one. And I think you want to continue to see growth and development there. I mean, we've talked about it before. His shooting is there. His defense is there. You want to see him more consistent along the perimeter, but you also want to see him become a much better ball handler, a facilitator on offense. Those are the kinds of things where he was playing off ball with, you know, sharing the lineup there with Dwayne Wade or Goran Dragic. And those were the kinds of things where maybe he wasn't necessarily creating offense as much as you'd like from the point guard or shooting guard position. But I think those are things that he can develop. We saw that being worked on in summer league, and I think that's the next step for him.
We've talked a lot about Richardson, you know, and first of all, what this injury means. I don't want to put too much weight into it. We've talked about it. It's not going to have a huge effect on much of anything. I don't think a lot of people are expecting that. We talked a lot about how he's a much better player than the guy that a lot of people let slide to the second round last summer.
Absolutely.
But what is his ceiling? Where do you see him topping out almost? I mean, that's a tough question, but if we're projecting 4 or 5 years down the road, his second contract, when it's time for him to get his second deal, where do you see him?
I think, you know, his versatility where he can play either the point, the two, or the three certainly helps. I think he's a little smaller than guys that could be like maybe even like a Luol Deng or Damari Carroll, where you can probably slide him to a small four, Jared Dudley type. So maybe that might hurt him, but there's still versatility there on defense. I would say that he would probably be like ideally suited for a 3-and-D type player, especially considering we've seen, you know, flashes of shooting brilliance from him and you know, tenacity on the defensive end. So I would see him being one of those guys that a glue player that you want to bring on board, a 3-and-D guy who can, you know, do so much for you on the perimeter and help out in that sense. I think that's his ceiling.
When I'm looking at the shooting guard position, I mean, the loss of Wade can't be overstated. I mean, what he brought, I mean, basically 20 points a game. You know, he was going to help facilitate 4 to 6 assists a night anywhere in there. The leadership qualities, obviously. Somebody in this group needs to step up. And when you look at Josh Richardson, maybe Deion Waiters and Tyler Johnson and all those guys, I mean, with Wade gone, that's a lot of shots open up. With Wade, Joe Johnson, and Luol Deng, that's essentially 30 to 35 shots a night.
At least, yeah.
And between these guys, they're going to have to demand a lot of those shots. And I mean, obviously, in the point guard preview from Monday, we talked about Goran Dragic, and he's going to get a major opportunity. He's a lot more of an opportunity this time. But outside of just Dragic, these guys are going to have to step up. Obviously, I think Waiters, as a sixth man, has a lot of opportunity to be the lead dog, so to speak, on that second unit. But he's going to get a lot of play with the starting guys. And Josh Richardson will too. And Tyler Johnson, you gotta imagine, will as well. I think there's a real opportunity for one of these guys to be one of like the top two, or depending on what happens with Bosch, one of the top two or three guys scoring-wise on this team by the time this season ends. I think Josh Richardson this year could average like 15 or 16 points a game. The opportunity is there. And if not him, Deion Waiters could certainly do that. One of them is going to get a lot of points this season.
I mean, okay, let's assume Bosch is in the lineup. He's going to get the bulk of the points. And then right. I think the secondary role, the secondary scorer has to be Dragic because mm-hmm. of what you're paying him, because of his ability, because he's going to have the ball in his hands so frequently. Now, as far as the next tier of scorer is concerned, I don't know. I mean, it seems like Richardson would probably be ideally suited for that because he's a good catch-and-shoot player. Because he can space the floor and he can explode if there's a breakdown defensively, he can get to the hoop. You know, his ball handling isn't his strength. As far as Wade is concerned, you know, you're going to see moments from him where he's going to be on the perimeter waiting for the shot or waiting for the pass and putting it up. You know, it's tough to predict exactly who will take up the load. I wanted to go back and bring up that point you made about stepping up as leadership, as leaders on the team. And I don't see any of these three being a valid option to take over a leadership role. Not at this point. I think Richardson's still too – he's too green. Waiters, for all the talk of his cockiness and everything else, he's always been a secondary figure. You know, maybe not in his own head, but, you know, last season – he took a backseat to larger personalities like Westbrook and Durant, and rightfully so.
None of them really are they're not superstars. They don't really have the credentials to step up and be the leader, right? I think guy like maybe Wayne Ellington could be one of those veteran bench guys that maybe helps bring some of the young guys along, maybe takes somebody under his
wing. But even he hasn't been much of a leader in the past either. He's always been a role player at best, right?
Right, exactly. So I think when... you know, Goran Dragic is the guy, and Chris Bosh especially, and we've talked about Udonis Haslem's role, and, you know, really Haslem's role on this team is as important as it's ever been in many ways. And but you're right, I don't think the leadership thing is going to be there, but that also, this team has this kind of interesting feel of it where maybe it's not really anybody's team, you know, it's this young, like, to me, the leadership of this team is going to just be the energy that's brought by Winslow, Richardson, Tyler Johnson, and Hassan Whiteside. We see that they get along really well. You know, it looks like they genuinely have fun playing together. And I think just that energy and that spark, that is going to be the way that this team gets through things. It's just like the genuine excitement and newness of the NBA for these guys. A lot like those early 2003, 2004 Heat teams where, you know, maybe Bosch plays a Lamar Odom role and a lot of these other guys just kind of fall into place and then they just kind of maybe... hopefully for this Heat team, right, over succeed expectations, so to, and maybe that's kind of what gets them and pushes them through things. But as far as Wade, Joe Johnson, Luol Deng, all those guys are gone, and Eric Spoelstra, right? He's probably going to be the leader of this team. It might be like a Brad Stevens situation in Boston where it's like everything revolves around Eric Spoelstra.
It could be, although that seems a little less likely considering the role he's played over the last seven seasons now as head coach.
Yeah,
we made a comparison a while ago, and I know it's probably one that you like, but you know, the Trailblazers last year lost a number of players, Nicholas Batum, Robin Lopez, LaMarcus Aldridge, et cetera. So they were kind of rudderless there. And then Dame Lillard, you know, and rightfully so, being the team's, you know, best player by far, took on an incredible leadership role in the offseason, you know, made sure everybody gathered in LA, I believe, for offseason workouts and had everybody gathered together. At this point, you know, Wade is gone, so he's not there to lead those workouts. Tyler Johnson's been involved in offseason workouts, but the leadership role seems to be deferring to Udonis Haslem. You know, he's the guy who tweets out pictures, and we see him kind of leading the charge there. Unfortunately, Goran Dragic is playing for the Slovenian national team at this point, and he's missing an incredible opportunity to assume that leadership role in the same way Lillard did. And I think, you know, it's going to be a disservice to him in the future if we expect him to take over that role and during the regular season.
And Hassan Whiteside got paid, and he's spending his time as Hassan Whiteside usually does, whatever it is that he does on Snapchat, and playing NBA 2K, complaining about the Heat's ranking. All right, well, Wayne Ellington, Rodney Magruder, these guys that are on the bubble, not really expecting much from them. Rodney Magruder probably doesn't make the team. I was impressed with him from Summer League. I think he has some 3-and-D potential. He can handle the ball a little bit. But overall, this guy just he seems destined for another stint in the D League, hopefully with the Sioux Falls Skyforce, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, he's a little bit burly. You know, maybe the bulldog-type defender that you like so much. You know, and yeah, he can space the floor. He's athletic. You know, he's strong. I think he's got some potential there. And
some hops, you know, too. I mean, he showed off some good leaping ability at Summer League.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's not particularly tall, but yeah, he's got that size and athleticism. That it's just enough to really make him, you know, noticeable there. And again, yeah, it's Summer League, so take it for what it's worth. But you always want to see that kind of potential. And, you know, the Skyforce and the Heat have had some success recently developing players and getting them to reach their potential there. So you want him to be able to continue that trend. I mean, you look at even a guy like Jarnell Stokes, who didn't make the team, wasn't much of an impact, but he wound up leading the Skyforce to their D League championship. And now he's gotten a contract with the Denver Nuggets. So there's potential there. And I think the team is really in a good place to help develop it.
So overall, just to kind of wrap this up with the shooting guards, I do like where the Heat are at. I mean, it would have been better, obviously, if Wade was here. But considering that he's not, I think there are some interesting options. I think the luxury of Josh Richardson, having him as a steal in the draft. I mean, going back to that quote from Barry Jackson's article in Miami Herald, where if you redraft last summer's draft, Josh Richardson's a top 20 player. I mean, that is a huge steal for Miami. So that's a luxury to have him. Deion Waiters being there, I mean, as young as he is and the potential that he has, that's a really good pickup, especially at the price that they got him for. Even if it is a year rental, I like that, at least as a stopgap in between. Somebody that's a proven scorer, maybe not proven to be a consistent scorer, but has proven that he can score sometimes, right? Yeah. And then Tyler Johnson and the versatility that he can bring. A lot of these guys outside of Goran Dragic are going to be very interchangeable between the one and two, and maybe even some of them sliding down to the three in small ball situations. But for a team that just lost a player the caliber of Dwayne Wade, you could be in a lot worse of a position. I mean, you look at the Thunder, who just lost Durant, and they have Kyle Singler starting at small forward now. Or Andre Roberson, right? Like it could be a lot worse for the Heat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're going to look at his Hall of Fame credentials, and obviously you're going to think that there's going to be a significant drop-off. But as we talked about, you know, this is a team that's going to evolve, and more than likely in a positive way. Now, where we're going to see the loss of Wade most acutely, I think, is going to be in the last few minutes of a game of a tight contest. You're going to need him to take over the scoring role, and there was so much he could do defensively as well when he was fully engaged, and I can't stress it enough. We saw a Wade that was less than 100% engaged for most of the last few seasons, but he could still turn it on to another level, one that I don't think either Richardson, Johnson, or Waiters can reach at this point in their careers, and probably not ever. But, you know, for the overall pace, a quicker one that we expect, I think this personnel is better suited for that, and we could be pleasantly surprised. Again, you're going to miss his production in certain moments there. You're going to miss his leadership in particular, but I think for their overall style of play, it's a pretty good group of guys to have going into the season.
Okay, so let's take a quick break and just give a shout out to the Locked On Podcast Network. That great network that Locked On Heat is a part of. You can get Locked On NBA with David Locke, our boss. Really good conversations with NBA types, head coaches, scouts, personnel, players over there. Very insightful content. Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. If you're into fantasy basketball, that's a must listen. That's a daily podcast with all your fantasy basketball needs. And Locked On Miami Dolphins, who just got not killed, but not really a fun game to watch by the New England Patriots. Locked On Dolphins for all of your Miami Dolphins needs. And a lot of other great content, whether you want to listen to Locked On NFL, if you're a fan of other NBA teams, you can listen. If you're following Dwayne Wade to the Bulls, you can listen to Locked On Bulls with our buddies Sean Hyken and Cody Westmoreland. Lots of great stuff over there. So subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, whatever you use to listen to podcasts, we're there, and you can subscribe. So that's it for us. This is going to be David and Fred Katz of Locked On Thunder talking more about Deion Waiters coming up next.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Joining the show now, Locked On Heat co-host David Ramel. David, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely, Fred. Glad to be here.
So the Heat agreed to a two-year deal with a former Thunder guard this summer, a guy named Deion Waiters. He'd have a bunch of guards now, Tyler Johnson, Goran Dragic, Josh Richardson, Ben Udre, Wayne Ellington, and then there's Deion. Where do you think he fits into all of this? Because there's a little bit of a jumble in that guard rotation, and obviously he fits in somewhere, but where do you think that is?
That's an interesting question, and one made a little bit more interesting by the recent injury to Josh Richardson. It seems like he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, and we had projected him to be a starter because of his versatility on defense, the fact that he can space the floor better than anybody else in the starting lineup at this point. So we thought he was going to be the natural starter, but now that he's out, it seems likely that Waiters will probably fill that role. Although Tyler Johnson was just added to the roster with a pretty big extension, the 4-year, $50 million deal, I'm not sure that he's ready to assume a starting role at this point. He's a little undersized for the two position, and he's not quite the ball handler that, you know, Goran Dragic is. He's not going to supplant Dragic at any point. So I think that Waiters will likely start the season as the starting shooting guard.
Yeah, I think from a rotational standpoint, too, I don't know, you might disagree with me on this, but I'd rather have Tyler Johnson running my second unit than I would Deion Waiters running my second unit, and I think that works a little bit better if you bring Johnson off the bench, and you can certainly play him next to a point guard because he's pretty long, and there are lineups in which he can play the two. But you know, I think Waiters works a little better in a more conventional starting two role as opposed to having to come off the bench and maybe having to facilitate a little more offense for your team.
Yeah, I agree. I think he fits better with the projected starters. There's some good news here for Heat fans that Chris Bosh seems likely to rejoin the team. We haven't heard anything official from the Heat, obviously. They've been pretty mum about the subject ever since it was first diagnosed a second time. But at this point, it seems like he's likely to start. So I think Waiters fits along better there. And I think with that kind of veteran leadership in the starting lineup, he'll fit a little bit better.
Now let's talk a little about Josh Richardson, too, because Josh Richardson also has some Oklahoma City ties because he's from Edmond, which is a suburb just north of Oklahoma City. He actually went to the same high school as he went to Santa Fe High School, same high school as Epe Udo. So little bit of an Oklahoma connection with Josh Richardson too. And Richardson is probably going to miss the start of the season after that MCL injury. Now he's young. He was a rookie last year. He was so good in the second half. Like, it seemed like he couldn't miss a three-point shot. He won Rookie of the Month at one point. I forget if that was April or March, but he won Rookie of the Month. And he was on fire, really, after the All-Star break, just playing amazing basketball once the Heat really started to give him minutes. You have to imagine when he comes back, assuming he's healthy, he's going to get minutes. And I can't imagine that Waiters is in a point where he can steal minutes away from Richardson when Richardson does come back. But is there a scenario in which Waiters can get off to a good start, maybe if he is in the starting lineup, and maybe all of a sudden earn some of those starting minutes, some more minutes than maybe we think he's going to get if he's playing good basketball?
It's hard to see it at this point, to be honest with you, because I think, you know, Richardson has the edge in being, you know, familiar with the Heat system. He knows how to work with Coach Spoelstra. There's been a good mentoring relationship there between Richardson and Spoelstra. So I think that's really the connection that they were able to establish is kind of what allowed Richardson to blossom in that second half of the season, particularly with his three-point shooting. So it's hard to picture Waiters supplanting Richardson. I mean, I guess I could see the possible scenario where they might think that he's clicking very well with that starting lineup, and he provides some versatility on defense, and that maybe Richardson provides that off the bench, and he could work together with Tyler Johnson as a really strong and versatile backcourt. I don't project that, though. I don't think so. I don't think a lot of people do. I think, you know, Richardson has the length to play a number of positions. He's 6'6", so he can move around quite a bit. But they had several lineups last year where he's playing the point guard, although that was, you know, alongside Dwayne Wade, who's no longer with the team. So I mean, I think Richardson's a better fit, so it's tough to think of Waiters. As much as I like him and what he can bring to the table, I just don't see him being able to take over a substantial amount of minutes. Because Richardson's, I mean, look, the reality is that the commitment that they made to Waiters was an unexpected one. You know, obviously he became an unrestricted free agent and he signed here, although he may or may not have had more lucrative deals elsewhere. And I guess there's some kind of a commitment from the Heat's organization, you know, from the Heat standpoint to try and help him kind of succeed here in Miami and maybe parlay his stint here into a more lucrative contract either here or elsewhere. But the reality is they want to continue to develop Richardson, and I think he's the future of this team moving forward. Unless there's a trade that I don't foresee happening in the next few months, it seems more likely that Richardson is going to be the future of the team.
Yeah, that's what's kind of interesting about this Heat backcourt, because it's not just those guys that I listed at the top of this segment. There's also a Justice Winslow who's not really a shooting guard, and he's so large. I mean, he's honestly closer to a center than he is to a shooting guard at this point because he's so big. Yeah. And like, he played the five for a little bit in that Toronto series last year in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And I mean, he's just gotten huge. Like, he was massive at Summer League. And I mean, I see a scenario where he's basically playing more power forward than he is shooting guard. But you know, he is a wing in that sense. And you look at the amount, just the quantity of guys who play on the perimeter on this team, and they're a bunch of those types of guys. There's a lot of redundancy on this roster, I think, and they really did kind of fall into Waiters. Like, they didn't go into this offseason saying, all right, when Deion Waiters doesn't get the money, people think he's going to get, we're going to scoop him up for the room exception, and that's what's going to happen. Like, that's not how this Miami team is thinking. They're moving forward. They matched on Tyler Johnson deal for, what was it, 4 for $50, right. which I think was probably more money than they thought they were going to have to pay for Tyler Johnson anyway, when the Nets gave signed him to that offer sheet initially, and the Nets were just kind of signing guys to offer sheets, signing guards to offer sheets left and right, trying to see if they could get their hands on one of them. Johnson ended up slipping away, and all of a sudden this team, you know, has a lot of guards there with Deion Waiters. I think it's a good scenario for him because I think it's a situation that allows him to build on what he did last year, which I think even if the numbers were a little down in the regular season, even if the percentages, he shot, you know, a hair below 40% from the field and the efficiency was not great, he was taking more efficient types of shots, and that really blossomed in the postseason when he was when he had a really nice run, I think, in the Thunder's run to the Western Conference Finals, and he played good defense, and I thought his team defense got a lot better. He rotates better. He pays more attention. He plays harder. He's always been a solid on-ball defender, but I think he got better at that just because his defensive smarts – his defensive recognition has gotten better, and his shot selection has gotten better. I mean, you look at the percentage of his shots that come from mid-range, and that number is just – so much lower than it was 2 years ago. I think it's like 16 or 15% of his shots from last year were from the mid-range area, and that was the lowest number in the league. And that was something that he and Billy Donovan made a conscious effort to work at throughout the year. And I think there are a lot of positives that he can take away from last year. Even if the playing time was a little lower, the percentages were a little lower, he didn't average double digits in scoring, but there are a lot of positives to take away. There's something to build on. And I think the Heat organization specifically is a good place for him to do that. Even if he gets 22 to 24 minutes, I mean, I think there is a scenario in which Deion Waiters actually does get the money that we thought he was going to get this offseason. He just gets it next offseason.
Yeah, there are some concerns on my end, though, because I think, and you could probably speak to this a lot more than I could, but I saw moments there where Deion was clearly being held in check by the larger personalities of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. And although Bosch is, you know, set to return, I think he's not quite the vocal leader that either KD or Westbrook were. So I'm not sure if there's going to be that kind of system of checks and balances there to keep Deion somewhat constrained. And I'm not sure exactly whether or not he's going to try and do too much, maybe play a little bit more of the hero ball style that he was known for in Cleveland. That's a concern, I think, that he might be a little bit more reckless than what we had seen over last season in Oklahoma City. So, if he wants to continue to build on that, and, you know, obviously there's a good culture in place. And like I said, Spoelstra has a real strong connection with players. He's been known to work diligently to try and get everybody on board and see the share the vision that he develops there. And there's obviously a good structure in place for the team's front office and everything else. But there are some concerns that without Bosch, there wouldn't have been much of a vocal leadership role there. Not, you know, Goran Dragic isn't known for being that kind of a player. You know, Richardson and Winslow, they're still developing. They're just in their second year, you know, barely 20 years old at this point. And Hassan Whiteside, you know, he's not really a leader type at this point in his career. He's just still growing as a player himself. So there were some concerns there, but I don't know. The thing with Waiters is, despite the knock that he's had for most of his career, what I've always recognized in him is a willingness to get better. And it gets lost in a lot of the narrative about him being, you know, a hothead or calling for the ball too much and being somewhat unreliable. But I think there's been a willingness to continue to improve and to work on his game. And I expect him to continue to develop from what we saw last year with the Thunder.
Well, the point that you just made is it brings up a point that I think is particularly interesting, which is kind of the appeal of this Heat organization for a player like Waiters. Because I feel like the Heat organization, and you talk about the players a lot, and I think a lot of this comes from Spoelstra, and obviously a ton of it comes from Pat Riley, which sure. It's kind of a place for player rejuvenation, right? I mean, you look at Hassan Whiteside, and people think of Hassan Whiteside as a young, up-and-coming player. I mean, maybe he's an up-and-coming player, but he's not really that young. He's 27 now. Like, he just emerged at an age that's, you know, a little older than what people normally are at when they actually emerge, because he was bouncing around from place to place for 3 or 4 years, and the Heat were kind of the organization that you know, disciplined him and held him in check more, and he really didn't start to play at his peak, in my opinion, until Eric Spoelstra started bringing him off the bench last year when he was really, really good. And I thought he was more locked in defensively and wasn't chasing quite as many blocks and was a far better defensive player, in my opinion, when he started coming off the bench. And the Heat, I think, I deserve a lot of credit for that with the way that they handle him and the way they handle personalities. Now, so you can correct me if you think that I'm wrong on this, but I mean, for me, this... The culture of the Miami Heat organization, obviously it changes with Dwayne Wade now gone, and he was a major part of that culture. But to me, the culture starts with Pat Riley, and he's still there, and it goes down to Eric Spoelstra, and he's still there, and Chris Bosh is a big part of it too. And I do think from a career rejuvenation standpoint, it helps with Deion Waiters, or at least someone like Deion Waiters. And I think with Waiters, there's no question that his reputation was a big reason why he didn't get the amount of money that people like expected him to get, and he only ended up getting... I mean, he signed a two-year deal. It's really a one-year deal with a player option on the second year. He'll end up being a free agent next year. It's really a one-year deal for $2.9 million. And people thought, and he thought, that he was going to get a lot more money than that. It didn't end up happening. And I think if we see it for a second year, and the league sees it for a second year, Miami is a good spot for him to try to make kind of a reputation overhaul. Whether it's deserved or not, it's a good spot to make a reputation overhaul, and I think that's part of the appeal for him going there.
Yeah, no doubt. I think Pat Riley has been known to do that throughout his career, even before he came to Miami. You know, he started off the career of players like John Starks and Anthony Mason while he was with the Knicks, and even when he came to Miami, he's always been known to kind of boost players. There was a string of years there where he was always bringing in a kind of cast-off veteran point guard who would really thrive here for one season and then parlay that into a bigger contract elsewhere. It was amazing. But even more recently, there were players like Chris Anderson and obviously, Hassan Whiteside is a success story. Tyler Johnson wasn't even drafted. They spend some time in the D League and all of a sudden they're much more suited and acclimated for the rigors of the NBA. And I really think that Waiters will continue to thrive here. I'm not quite sure what it is that makes Miami such a great place or a place where reclamation projects like that continue to thrive. But whatever the chemistry is, whatever the issue is, it's always worked during the Pat Riley era. And I expect that to be the case with Waiters as well.
So two quick questions before we go. Let's go quick answer on these.
You got it.
Deion Waiters' minutes total this year.
I'd say 20 minutes a game.
Does Deion Waiters stay in the rotation consistently throughout the season?
Yes.
How many points per game is he going to get? Or let me say this. Which tier scorer is he going to be on the team?
Certainly in the lower level. I'd say maybe a topping off at 10 points per game at most.
If you had the disposable income to get a summer home, would you get it in South Beach or would you get it on Waiters Island?
Waiters Island, absolutely.
Always Waiters Island. That's the right answer. Anything to plug before we go? You want to tell people about Locked On Heat?
Yeah. You can always follow us at Locked On Heat. You can follow me personally at DRamil13. I write pretty much everywhere and always willing to talk with anybody about Deion Waiters and Waiters Island.
Okay, well, that's our show. Thank you for listening. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen and subscribe to your podcasts. We'll be back covering the forward position tomorrow. Catch you next time.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.